The reading today is from Luke 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. And now we hear about the baptism of Jesus. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of Christ.
Glory to you, Lord Christ. Amen.
Please be seated.
Last Sunday, January 4th, was Epiphany of the Lord Sunday. The Magi, also known as the wise men, came to worship the Christ child who was at that time about 2 years old. Today we celebrate baptism of the Lord Sunday. As many of you know, before beginning his public ministry, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Do you know how old Jesus was when this happened? According to the Gospel of John, Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his work. So it is interesting to notice that last Sunday he was only 2 years old, and now today he is 30. This means that it's been 28 some years in Jesus' life when it's been only a week, according to our traditional church calendar. It's the whole life of Jesus we remember, and we Christians celebrate his life in 1 year cycle. Yes, every year we observe Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, and beyond. And then at Advent, we start all over again. So it's all about Jesus, and this yearly cycle shows how much God loves us through Jesus. Two of the most important gifts from God are the two sacraments that affirm God's steadfast love and amazing grace. What are these two sacraments, especially in our United Methodism, along with other mainline denominations? It's Holy Communion and Baptism. Through these two sacraments, we always affirm our faith in God through Christ and God's love for us. Even though we are encouraged to celebrate Holy Communion in every Sunday worship in our church, at least we have been sharing Holy Communion every first Sunday of each month. However, affirming and reaffirming our baptismal covenant does not happen often, maybe once or twice a year or more, maybe like today, when we actually baptize children, also or adults as well. If no one is being baptized, what are we expected to do on Baptism of the Lord Sunday? We can have a congregational reaffirmation of a baptismal covenant. But today we are extra blessed with holy baptism celebrations for not just one child, but four children. Yes. So this morning, I'd like to share with you what baptism is about. Baptism is God's affirmation that, first, you are a beloved child of God. When Jesus was baptized, there was a voice came down from heaven. It must be God's voice saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Pay attention to the point when this God's voice of affirmation came down. Is it happening before or after Jesus' ministry? Is before. Even though Jesus' life of 30 years was presumably a normal life as a carpenter, this God's affirmation came down from heaven just before he begins his public ministry. Before his baptism, he never healed any sick person, performed any divine miracle, or delivered any sermon or message on the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible offers virtually no specific details about Jesus' life between age 12, when he was found in the temple, or we all remember that, right? And age 30, when he was baptized and began his ministry, a period often called the lost years or silent years. However, traditional and scholarly consensus suggests that Jesus likely lived in Nazareth with his parents, Joseph and Mary, worked as a carpenter, learning a trade, grew in wisdom, and prepared for his public role with a strong focus on Jewish life, study, and manual labor. Finally, at the age of 30, when he was baptized, God shows his pleasure on what he's about to do. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." It is God's affirmation on the special divine relationship that you are my son. It's like God saying, if I may paraphrase, "My son Jesus, even though you have not accomplished any divine things yet, remember, you are my own son, and I am well pleased. And now I am sending you to your mission field to love your people." That's God's voice upon Jesus. And it is also God's voice upon you and me. Baptism is not something you are being recognized or for your spiritual or service accomplishment. Baptism is God's affirmation that you are a beloved and precious child of God. Baptism is a celebration of your entrance into the relationship with God as a beloved child. That's why one of the questions from the baptismal covenant of the United Methodist Church is, "Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?" And you respond to it by saying, "I do." Yes, the baptismal covenant is a serious and significant commitment. And only when you mean it, you can say, "I do." And one of the blessings from your commitment is truly awesome. That blessing is that you are a beloved child of God. Yes, baptism signifies that you belong to God's family. Please turn to your next person and share this greeting. "You are a beloved child of God." Can you do it right now? Yes. You are a beloved child of God. Yes. Don't forget that. Remember that. Number two, baptism is God's affirmation that you belong to God's beloved community. Being an ordained UMC pastor for nearly 30 years, I have met so many different people from various communities in mostly Southern California, of course, especially those who walked into the church asking me to baptize their child or children. Many of them were either non-members or those who rarely come to church, but they all wanted, desire to have their children baptized. So I would ask them by saying, I would be happy to baptize your child, but let me ask you this question. Why would you have your child baptized when you, the parent, are not active in any church life at all? You don't even attend any Sunday service. I have never met any parent who answered my question meaningfully or at least seriously, so then I would offer them a baptism class so that they could learn and understand the meaning of baptism, especially the difference between adult baptism and children's baptism. Simply put, while you, an adult, are being baptized because of your own faith and your own commitment, your child or children can be baptized too, only because of your faith and your commitment to raise your child or children in Christian love, nurture, and care. Seriously, baptism is not a family ritual, tradition, or custom. Baptism is not a magical protection spell from any harm's way. Or baptism is not an insurance for guaranteed salvation for your soul or your child's soul. Rather, baptism is a sacrament that reminds you of that you belong to a community of faith and love in one spirit. Thus, it doesn't make sense that you would like to have your child baptized but do not belong to any local church. Apostle Paul proclaims in Ephesians, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Yes, you are a precious and beloved child of God, and you belong to God's family and God's beloved community, the church. Your faith is personal, but never private. That's why we are always encouraged to celebrate baptism during Sunday worship, which is corporate worship, when the whole congregation witnesses and rejoices the baptismal covenant together. Again, Paul states in 1 Corinthians, for in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Number three, baptism is God's affirmation that you must bear fruit of worthy of repentance. Fruit worthy of repentance. In John chapter 3, just before this morning's main passage, John the Baptist was preaching to the people, especially to those who came and were baptized, he proclaimed, and one of the highlights is, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Being baptized is not an end, but a new beginning. Baptism is an initiation of a bearing fruit of repentance and commitment. This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. I have never served in the U.S. Navy. I know Elizabeth served in the U.S. Navy. So I never witnessed this special military tradition. Before launching a new ship, what do you do? Christening a ship by breaking a champagne bottle, right? Have you seen that? Maybe some of you. Okay. It is known that it is not only U.S. Navy's tradition, but also a global tradition everywhere for naval and civilian ships across the world. Originally, it was an act of baptism of the ship with holy water, based on an ancient tradition for a few thousand years. Now it is called christening a ship with the Holy Spirit, holy water substitute, champagne. Of course, in our Methodist tradition, we do not have any holy water. The water we used for baptism is just tap water, plain water, ordinary water, right? Yes, because the water is merely a symbolic element. The water itself is not a magic formula or has any power to transform anything. Like this Bible phrase, water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. It's your faith in God who saves you, transforms you, and shapes you. With your faith and commitment, you are entering into a new life of not only living a faithful disciple of Christ, but also making another disciple of Christ. That's right. We are not spectators, but disciples of Jesus Christ who are called to make another disciples of Christ for the transformation of the world. This is our mission, and this is why we are here for. Remember the Great Commission given by Jesus in Matthew? And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Making disciples' first step is to go. This doesn't merely mean go to overseas as a missionary. No, your mission field can be your family, your workplace, your community, and your nation. Yes, it could be the whole world. Anywhere you go can be your mission area. The word go means move, be active, be proactive, initiate, practice, show your actions, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we are walking in the new year of 2026, let us renew and reaffirm our baptismal covenant as the church, the community of faith, a flourishing and faithful congregation. You, each and every one of you, are a beloved child of God. What a blessing. what a delight. Thanks be to God. Amen.